Braced by her encounter in the shop, Hetty walked briskly home and was somewhat disappointed that the house was no less gloomy than when she had left it an hour before. But, reminded of Mrs. Hempstead by a packet of streaky bacon she unpacked from her bag, she felt the faint stirrings of her returning spirit, a memory of what she had been like pre-Alistair. Pre-Alistair, she had often heard herself described as bubbly and enthusiastic. It always made her cringe. It sounded so like a chocolate bar. But it wasn't inaccurate. She did rise to a challenge and occasionally get carried away by a new idea. Whether she would have stayed with the firm of management consultants so long if she hadn't fallen in love with her boss, Alistair Gibbons, she doubted. But she had, and she stayed, until he abandoned her for an older woman. She was just about to see if she could get Uncle Samuel's supplementary cooking sauce, in the form of a two-burner camping gas stove, to work, when there was a knock on the back door. After a few false starts, Hetty got it open. It was the glamorous woman with the sports car. "Hi, I'm Caroline," the woman smiled. "Can I come in? I've been longing to get a proper look at the house for ages, and when I heard you were here on your own, I thought it was the ideal opportunity." Hetty stepped back automatically, and Caroline came past her into the kitchen. "Here." Caroline burrowed in the pocket of her shiny leather jacket and produced a Cadbury's cream egg. "I've bought you a present, just the thing for a broken heart." Hetty's descending spirits made it down another couple of notches. This long-legged beauty had heard everything and had come to patronize her. "Sorry," Caroline did actually look sorry. "I wasn't supposed to say that." Hetty sighed resignedly. "Does the whole village know?" Caroline, who had pulled out a chair and seated herself at the kitchen table, shook her head. "Shouldn't think so. But your mother told Angela Brewster, and Angela told me. Not to be gossipy, but she knows I'm an expert." She produced another cream egg and started to unwrap it. "I attract shits like black attracts cat hairs." Caroline brushed at her sleek leather-covered legs, as yet unsullied. "But even if she told everyone, no one will remember. They're all more worried about what you're going to do while you're here." "Oh, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just house-sitting until my great-uncle's out of hospital." "How boring! And bad for you, darling. You'll just die of misery living here if you don't do something." Caroline wiped away a glob of yellow and white goo that had landed on her chin. It didn't go with the image created by the perfectly made-up face, the Hermes scarf knotted casually around her neck, and the large gold earrings that looked imposingly real. "Perhaps what I really mean," she went on, "is I will die of boredom if I don't do something. My husband, not a shit, by the way, is abroad an awful lot, and I need something to do to keep me out of trouble. Or so he says." Hetty hadn't yet worked out if this woman was impossibly bossy and interfering, a younger, upmarket version of her mother, or irresistibly attractive. But she didn't seem patronizing.